Hello, wherever you are, whenever you're joining with us, we hope that you are all well. And thank you once again for taking time to worship with us as we meet as a mission and ministry group. That's what we're now formally being called, a mission and ministry group. And hopefully at some point in the near future, we'll be able to tell you a name for that group. We are, as normal as we start our service, going to hear what's happening in the various parts of the group. So I'm handing you over now to Sheila to hear what's happening in Echt in Midmar.
Thank you, Ewan, and hello to everybody who's joining us this morning. At the moment, we're worshipping in Echt Church. We worship in Midmar on the first Sunday of every month, so we'll be welcoming folk this morning. Just looking ahead, though, to our worship during Holy Week, and a reminder that from the ministry team in our ministry and mission grouping, there will be online reflections available, and you'll be able to find those in the church websites. And they'll also be available in hard copy. If you would like to read the daily reflections on hard copy or have them emailed to you, then please speak to any one of the ministers. I'm going to hand over now to Tozi in Kintore.
Thank you. In Kintore, this Sunday is the deadline for anyone who still wants to come to the Passover meal on Thursday, 14th of April. We do still have seats available, and everyone is very welcome, but we do need to know the final numbers for catering purposes. The purpose of the meal fellowship, as well as to get a better understanding of Jesus' Last Supper. Another announcement is the message on the Easter Sunday, it will take place on 3:30 p.m. for all families. The last announcement is for the volunteer drivers needed for Inviruri Food Bank, and those who want details can contact Neil or contact Mabeth for the details. That's all for Kindle. Now I hand over to Stella.
Hello and good morning and welcome to everyone. Following on from the Maundy-Thursday meal and the Passover meal at 6:30 at Kintore, there's also the Good Friday service, to which everyone in the ministry and mission group will be welcome at Kemney Church at 7:30 p.m. on Good Friday. And each of our individual churches will have their service on Easter Sunday, and we'll be welcoming Tozi. The only additional announcement is that following a change of date from our plant sale at the end of May to the first week of June, we've now got a vacancy back in the Chapel of Geary Village Hall. So it's gone back to the May date, the traditional date for us. And now back to Ewan.
Thank you. And it's fascinating trying to get your mind round all these different names. We're actually called a mission and ministry, not ministry and mission. That was pointed out last night when we were at Presbytery. And it's just one of the terminologies that we will pick up soon. It doesn't really matter. We're just all in this together, whatever we're called. However, that being said, at Bunny Money Musk, today we have our Sunday school meeting. I look forward to that. And next Sunday at Easter, we have our family Easter service. And that's at 10 o'clock in Clooney Church. And after the service, the children will go out to the glebe and roll their Easter eggs. And the remainder of the folk who don't want to roll Easter eggs will go to the hall and enjoy hot cross buns and tea and coffee. These are about all the intimations I think that we have. And you know, we've done this quite well. This is only take two, because we hope to have a bit of fun, maybe at some point in the distant future, showing you some of the amazing outtakes that we have as we record these things. Anyway, folks, this is the day that the Lord has made, and let's have fun and enjoy being in his presence and being with one another as we worship together. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemne Parish Church. A very warm welcome to all who are here attending regularly, all who are watching live online, especially our friends at Littlewood Court, and a special welcome to two of my very dear American friends, Matt and Becky Pryor, who are with us today, who have just started a holiday here in Scotland. So Matt and Becky, a warm welcome to you both as well. Another information to share that I've been asked to by our friend John Whittle from St. Anne's is that this Holy Week on Good Friday, along with the other events that have been mentioned, that they'll have a Good Friday meditation at St. Anne's Church at 12 o'clock. And this is a meditative service on Good Friday. So please do feel free to come along and join for that event. And as Tose mentioned in the blether, I believe today is the deadline. If you wish to partake of the Seder meal that Kintore Church is putting on, today is the deadline for making your interest known. So if you'd like to take part in that Seder meal, which I believe starts at 6:30 in the evening on Thursday, Maundy Thursday of Holy Week, please do make contact with Kintore to say that you'd like to come along and join that. It's a ticketed event. I believe there's no cost, but it's ticketed due to having to get food and supplies. So make your interest known, please. And then, as was mentioned, Friday evening here in Kemne at 7:30, we'll have our Good Friday service, a meditative service about the last words of Jesus from the cross. And then carrying on into Easter Sunday, I believe we'll have our garden service at 8:30 in the morning, as tradition at the church center, followed by some form of sustenance and breakfast. And then after that, we'll have our 10 a.m. service of worship for Easter morning here in Kemne Church as well. So please do come along and support and be edified by these events. I believe these are all the intimations I wish to share at the start of our time. We'll go ahead and enter into worship through music by singing our first hymn together, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Great, doesn't it? It does indeed. Let's pray. Loving God, on this Palm Sunday, on this triumphant day, we rejoice in your entry into Jerusalem, into the world, into our lives. Joining with the crowds, we sing your praises. We exult in your reign. But even in this day of celebration, Lord, we confess that our hearts are divided and are often far from true worship. We confess our continued lack of understanding, Lord Jesus, about who you are, about what you are truly doing for each of us. We confess, even as we join in the throng of people and the shouts of praise of Hosanna, that we resist your humility. We close our hearts from your selflessness. And rather than embracing your way of love, we hold fast to our broken ways of strife and war, even though you call us to peace. So on this Palm Sunday, as we remember again the day, Lord, when you rode into Jerusalem, when you set your face to the city, when you set your face towards the cross for our salvation, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your love. Loving Savior, we are so thankful that you have given your all for us, that you have called each of us by name, that you know us better than we can ever hope to know ourselves. In this time of worship, as we enter into this time, we pray again for your healing and for your forgiveness. And in the silence of our hearts, we do confess, Lord, to you those sins that trouble us most. Friends, brothers and sisters, hear the good news of the gospel, that all who are in Jesus Christ are new creations. As far as the east is from the west, so our sin has been removed from us. We are truly cleansed, called and claimed in the blood of the Lamb. Thanks be to God for this great forgiveness, for this mercy that washes over our entire lives. Thanks be to God indeed. Amen. We continue to worship together with singing our next song of praise, Make Way, Make Way.
Thank you.
morning's reading from Scripture comes to us from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of God. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks in the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest!' And Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked round at everything, it was already late. And he went out to Bethany with the 12." Friends, this is God's word to us on this Palm Sunday. And to the Lord be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, on this Palm Sunday, as we pause our lives to reflect upon your word, Lord, we do pray for your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. May it truly be in our midst. Whatever worries, whatever doubts, whatever concerns we bring into this place, Lord, help us to lay them aside, that we may hear you speaking clearly into each of our lives. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength, the hope, and the redemption of all who trust in you. Amen. Well, we all know, judging from the cross, what day is it again? Oh, good. It's the start of Holy Week. Today is the start of the most sacred time in the entirety of the Christian faith. In their own ways, with their own emphases, each of the four Gospels, they take a lot of time with this week, don't they? This week is what it's all about. When it comes to Holy Week, I think it can be fair to think of our Lord's ministry recorded in each gospel as a journey. And Holy Week and Easter is the culmination of the journey recorded in each gospel. Each of the gospel stories in this week is reaching a grand crescendo. Everything is leading up to this. Now, I'm just saying to my friends Matt and Becky here, you're asking, how long have I been here? Time flies when you're having fun, first of all. But by now, been here almost 7 years. Hard to believe. By now, y'all know that I like some participation in worship. And I just y'alled you all. You can take the boy out of the country, but not the country out of the boy. So please raise your hand if you have ever taken a journey. Raise your hand if you've ever taken a journey. I know your hand should be up. Raise your hand if you've ever taken a journey and something hasn't gone to plan. Raise your hand if you've ever taken a journey and things have really not gone to plan. Like really, yeah, okay. I can personally answer yes to all three, too. I think I've told you before the story about attempting the West Highland Way, haven't I? And the absolute guttle we made of that. You know, did I use that word right? Yes. Finally learning. But when it comes to journeys and their unpredictable nature, I sometimes think of some famous lines from one of the greatest authors ever to live, and that would be John Ronald Reuel Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien. In The Lord of the Rings, when Bilbo says to his nephew Frodo, "It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step out onto the road, if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to." More often than not, I've found Tolkien's words to be true in my own life. More often than not, I've started many journeys with a clear goal or clear destination in mind, only to encounter many unexpected twists and turns along the way. I think this is also true of Jesus' own journey, at least from the perspective of his followers. I think Jesus always knew exactly what he was about, where he was going, why he had to do it. But over and over again in the Gospels, we see that Jesus defied the expectations of his disciples, of the Jewish leadership of the time, and the crowds that followed after him. His disciples, the leadership, the crowds, they all had their own expectations of Jesus, didn't they? Over and over again in the Gospels. Jesus followed his own pattern, his own journey. He performed miracles, healing miracles, astounding miracles, and then commanded silence from those who were healed. This is especially true in Mark's gospel. Over and over again, Jesus confounded expectations. And this confusion, this lack of apprehension, continues into Holy Week with this story of the triumphal entry. Picture the scene again. Jesus is placed upon the colt, riding into the city. We're told in the text that the crowds before and after, they're laying cloaks before and crying after him. What word do they cry out? Hosanna. Anybody here remember what Hosanna means? Lord, save us. Lord, save us. So clearly, there was an agenda. There was a hope, an expectation. And because, what time of year was it for devout Jews when Jesus went to Jerusalem? Passover. And because it was Passover, every Jewish mind and heart was aware of God's great liberation of his people from which country in the book of Exodus? Egypt. Perhaps Jesus' arrival in the city meant that another moment of Exodus and liberation had finally arrived. Perhaps this was the moment when the Messiah, God's anointed, would finally reveal himself, throw off the yoke of Roman oppression, and reclaim the fullness of God's promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Maybe the moment was now. Perhaps a new golden age was about to begin, finally. This was the hope of many, many, including the Lord's disciples. But it was not to be, at least not in the way that they thought. For in the triumphal entry, Jesus certainly meant to convey a message, did he not? But in contrast to someone like Pontius Pilate, who was likely entering the city at about the same time from the other side of the city in full military regalia, in the full pomp and circumstance of his Roman army around him, in the triumphal entry, Jesus ushered in a new kind of kingship, one marked by humility, service, sacrifice. By riding into Jerusalem the way that he did, Jesus turned the entire power structure of his time on its head. Rather than embracing the hierarchy and the social norms of the time, Jesus willfully displayed a glimmer of God's unbreaking kingdom, in which the first will be last, and the last will be first. In our world today, we are continually bombarded with the so-called gospel of egotism and self-advancement. In our kinds of culture, we're under continuous pressure to advance ourselves, to make more of ourselves than we ought, to buy more stuff, to earn more money, to get a bigger house, to always possess the latest and greatest anything. But the truth is, friends, the more we try to exalt ourselves, the emptier I think we become. In my experience, the happiest and most fulfilled people I have ever met or read about are those whose lives are patterned on the Lord's own humility and lowliness. Those who truly know and follow Jesus, in my experience, have a joy in their life that nothing can ever take away. Nothing. And no amount of money, no amount of anything can compare to the joy that is offered to us in following and knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. I think this is what Paul's getting at in Galatians when he writes, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free." Now, I think my two American friends here would agree with me on this, that in my home culture, freedom is often prized as the greatest virtue, right? But we need to be careful when we talk about freedom. Because when it comes to the gospel, we're not free to do whatever we want. That's not what the Bible means by freedom. It means that Christ sets us free from all false gods, all false ideologies, from all sin, sets us free to find true and lasting purpose in God. In Jesus Christ, God gives us a pattern to live as free people for lives of service to God and to others. So we can say, truly, on Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem to make us what? Free. This is what it's all about. Now, towards the end of our story and all the accounts of it, we're told that euphoria gripped the crowd surrounding Jesus. You know, can you imagine the scene? The throngs of crowd going towards the temple in the middle of the city. All these adoring people around Jesus, waving their branches, laying their cloaks. The disciples were likely on cloud nine as they approached the gates of the city. But other accounts of the triumphal entry tell us that not everyone was enthused about the manner of Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem. In Luke's version of the triumphal entry, which is largely based on Mark's account, Mark's the earliest of the four Gospels, we're told in Luke's version that some of the Pharisees, not all of them by any means, but some of them came to Jesus and told him to go to his disciples and say, "Shh, make them be quiet. What are you doing? You're going to start an insurrection. You're going to cause a riot." And Jesus' response to them is striking. He says, "I say to you, if my followers were silent, the very stones would cry out. The very stones would cry out." And even in our world today, followers of Jesus Christ still hear this admonition, this pressure to be silent instead of praise. Here in Scotland, we as Christians are not silenced with threats of force or bodily harm. We don't have to suffer such things in this country. But we all know that this is not the case in other countries, where being a Christian is sometimes considered to be illegal, right? Rather, those of us who try to follow Jesus in our culture, we face pressure to keep our faith to ourselves, to be silent in the name of secular tolerance. We're told to be silent about our faith in the name of tolerance. Now, tolerance can certainly be a virtue, but when it's used to suppress the gospel. In our kind of culture, Christians can be pressured and even shamed into silence. We are often told or expected to be quiet, to keep our faith to ourselves. We are expected not to disrupt the status quo. Christians are told to accept the ways of the world, to conform our faith to the ways of the world. We're told basically to blend in, and apart from an hour on Sunday, to be indistinguishable from the rest of an unbelieving world. The pressure to be this way is enormous, and it often leaves the church struggling to know what to say and how to live. But we are called to live lives of praise. We are called to affirm the lordship of Jesus Christ. We are called to share the good news of the gospel. I'm going to go off script now just to warn you. See where this goes. We know we're facing significant challenges in the Church of Scotland right now. Huge challenges about numbers, money, buildings, all these things. But those aren't really the issue. Those are the structural bits. The real issue, the real challenge we face is becoming evangelists, is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone around us, with being bold witnesses to the truth of the gospel. We can spend all the money we want, we can save all the buildings we want, we can hire all the ministers we want, but if our hearts are not set on sharing and living out the good news, it's all for naught. It just won't work. But if we have a rekindled passion for the gospel, for sharing the love of Jesus Christ, that is what will change things. That is what ultimately matters. If we have a passion for the gospel, we could sell this building, sell the church center, and it ultimately wouldn't matter. Right? Because it's about turning hearts and minds back to Jesus. And to be sure, when we share the good news, some will hear it and come to faith and praise God for that. Many others will give a polite hearing but be unmoved. And others will have complete resistance to the proclamation of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. But as Christians, we should never, ever give in to this pressure to be silent, to keep our faith to ourselves, to not cry out, "Hosanna, Lord, save us." In his remarkable book, The Cost of Discipleship, German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer reminds us that the messengers of Jesus will be despised until the end of time. They'll be blamed for the division which rends cities and homes. Jesus and his disciples will be condemned, Bonhoeffer says, for undermining family life, for leading nations astray. They'll be called crazy fanatics and disturbers of the peace. The disciples, he writes, will be sorely tempted to desert their Lord. But the end is also near, and they must hold on and persevere until it comes. So on this Palm Sunday, as we reflect on Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, as we reflect on the crowds that surrounded him, we too today have a choice. We can leave this church in just a few minutes, and we can choose to be silent. We can choose to conform, or we can choose to hold fast to Jesus, to follow his example, to live out our faith, come what may. That is how things will change. As I said at the start, it's the start of Holy Week. Everything is leading up to this. This is the day when the most important part of Jesus' journey was about to begin. So friends, brothers and sisters, as we prepare to enter again into this holiest of weeks, may God prepare us to re-experience this journey that Jesus took into Jerusalem, to Gethsemane, and to the cross. May we make this journey in full faith that Jesus goes before us every step of the way. And may we follow him into the light of Easter morn. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue in worship with singing our next hymn of praise to God, God the Lord, the King Almighty. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in your whole life and in your whole ministry, you took on the fullness of our human condition. From being born as a helpless infant in Bethlehem to enduring the absolute agony of the cross. Lord, you know full well the depths of human hardship and suffering. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help us listen to and respond to the cries of your children in Yemen, in Ukraine, and Ethiopia, where the worst of human behaviors are on full display in the needless cruelty and destruction of war. We pray that you will fill us and our political leaders with righteous anger and inspire and empower us to act in ways that can bring true peace with justice in these and in all places of war and conflict. Lord, we pray that you will hear and respond to the frustrations and fears of all people as we fully enter the third year of a global pandemic. We pray for your compassion to be upon those in Shanghai, China, who are struggling to access supplies in the midst of a weeks-long lockdown. And we pray as well for those in countries like South Korea, in Germany, in France, and Scotland, where case rates are elevated once again. Lord Jesus, we pray as well for the renewal of your church in this land. We pray that you'll give all of us passion for our faith and the desire to share it. We ask, Lord, that you work through our lives to renew faith in this land. We pray as well for our own local community of Kemne, for all the needs and the hopes and concerns of those who call this village home. Give us the grace we need to care for each other, to look after each other's needs, and in so doing, may your love, Lord Jesus, be truly revealed. We pray for our families, for parents, for aunts, for uncles, for grandparents, for spouses, for children, for dear friends. Hold them all in your loving care, we pray. And loving God, as we continue into Holy Week, give us all the courage to follow you where you must go. And even though in this week the road grows ever darker, help us, Lord, to trust that even the greatest darkness can never extinguish the light that you bring. And as a sign of our faith in you, Lord Jesus, as a sign of our faith in the redemption and the hope that you bring to all, we join our voices together, praying the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We now prepare to sing our closing song of praise on this Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Friends, today is Palm Sunday. Today is the start of Jesus' journey towards the cross and towards the empty tomb. As we go into this week together, may God the Father draw us ever closer to Jesus Christ. And may God use this time to teach us anew the hope and meaning and joy of our faith. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing be upon each of us and upon all who we know, this Palm Sunday and forevermore. And all of God's children said together, Amen. Go in peace.